Let us pray. Let the word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. I've been up since 2 o'clock this morning, so yeah, I'm really tired and my head is foggy, so I'm gonna finish sermon really short this morning. Nobody say amen, so I'm gonna keep going. Recently, I read a list of funny signs, you know, the signs that the office, they put on the door, on the various businesses. So I'm gonna share with you some of them. On the door of a car dealership, quote, "The best way to get back on your feet is to miss your car payment." For vet office, a sign says, "I'm back in a few minutes. Sit, stay." Muffler shop says, "No appointment is necessary. We will hear you coming." Funeral home, "Drive carefully. We will wait." Hospital maternity room, "Push, push, push." The eye doctor's office, "If you cannot see what you are looking for, you come to the right place." And then last one is not funny, it's a correct statement. So, a restroom, "Men to the left, because women are always right." Okay. Signs are important part of our culture, I guess. But since we are going through this Lenten journey, what kind of signs do you show to fruit worthy of repentance? What kind of sign you show that you bear fruit worthy of repentance? The 40 days of this Lenten season is a journey to the cross and the resurrection. This is the time that we look at ourselves. This is time that we look at our lives, look at our human condition. Think about it. The main reason that God came to us because we broke the relationship. So God wants us to reconcile. So we need to restore our relationship with God, our relationship with others. This is the time that we reflect our broken relationship. So only way that we can restore the relationship is to repent. Repent what we did wrong and turn around and go back to the amazing grace that God offered to us. That's why we are looking at these five languages of apology. This is the third week of the language. Repentance is needed. And the true repentance brings reconciliation. That's why John the Baptist, in his ministry, said, "Repent! For the kingdom of heaven has come near." And he also said, "Bear fruit worthy of repentance." Bear fruit worthy of repentance in Matthew chapter 3, verse 8. Even Jesus Christ, when he started his public ministry in Matthew chapter 4, 17, For that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." Repentance is necessary and needed. But in this generation, it's really hard for us to listen to the true spirit of repentance. We're not really comfortable talking about repentance. The fact is, in our life journey, we committed sin against God. Directly, indirectly, intentionally, unintentionally. And we are to repent of our sins. On a Pentecost, recorded in the book of Acts, chapter 2, people gathered at the site. They heard this prayer noise, and they heard Peter proclaim the good news. And they were cut to heart and repent, and said to Peter and the apostles, said, "Brothers, what shall we do? What shall we do? What can I do to make it right? If I have offended others, what can I do to make it right if I have offended our God?" I heard that the American judicial system has given more emphasis on what is called, legally called, reparative damages, which means that criminals should repay the victims of the damage that they made. The idea of reparative damage is you need to pay. You need to pay back the damage, the person that is wrong, person that they made. That's American judicial system that emphasis on these days. How about in our relationship when we did wrong or hurt our loved ones? In our daily lives, what about though our relationship was broken off? When a mother sees a four-year-old son grab a doll from hands of his six-year-old sister, what do? Mother require him to not only say, "I am sorry," to his sister, but also return the doll to sister, right? That's what we teach our children. But we don't do it. If I did make something wrong, then we need to do something, make it amends. That's repentance. Family relationship and true friendship are ultimately based on love. And the reason we are hurt so deeply, the reason the anger is so intense, is because their harsh word or hurtful action has called into question their love. How could they love me and do this? Questioning love. That means the words, I am sorry, I was wrong," may not be enough. For some people, restitution, which I learned on this new word, restitution, is their primary apology language, restitution. Then how how do we make restitution the most effectively and sincerely? The heart of restitution is reassuring the spouse or family members that you genuinely love them, and it is essential to express this in the love language of the other person. Listen, love language of not my word, but the other person. You know, some husbands have an idea that giving the flowers to wife solves everything. But the gift of flowers is not always the love language of all wives. That's why some husbands had their flowers pushed back into their face while the wives walk away angry, saying, "He thinks the flowers solve everything." In making restitution, one size does not fit all. Let me say that again. In making restitution, one size does not fit at all. That's why many husbands and wives have been frustrated in their effort to make it right. The problem is that they were not speaking their spouse's primary love languages. You know, when I did a premarital counseling, the main premarital counseling is focusing on learning the other person's love language. We assume it's the same, but it's not. Therefore, the message of restitution, reaffirming love, was not getting through. They said, you need to speak her or his language. Let me give you just an example. Sheila was very upset. "I am sick and tired of his apologies," she said. I'm sorry. That's all he ever says. That's supposed to make everything all right? Well, I'm sorry, but when he screams and yells at me, calls me names, that doesn't make it all right. What I want to know is, does he still love me? Or does he want out of the marriage? If he loves me, then why doesn't he do something to help me to around the house? I'm tired of living with a man who sits in front of the TV all the time while I'm cooking meals and wash the dishes. Actions speak louder than words. In this story, obviously, Sheila's primary love language is act of service, not saying, "I am sorry." And her husband is not speaking it. So wrong direction. A car driver was driving through the state of Pennsylvania and lost her way. She asked a certain gentleman how far it was to Phillipsburg, New Jersey. This gentleman said this, "Well, the direction that you are going would be 24,995 miles. However, if you turn around and get back on Route 22, going east, then that will be 5 miles. Find the right direction. Find the primary love language of your loved ones, not your word, your loved ones. For some people, words of affirmation are their love language. I was going to ask you to do this, but because of time limitation, when you go home, I'm going to ask you to do this, okay? When you go home, take your spouse's hand, look into their eyes, and repeat. Say something like this: I know I'm not a perfect husband or wife. I hope you will forgive me for past failure. I sincerely want to be a better husband or wife, and I'm asking you to teach me. This is the important part. I'm going to ask you to teach me how. It's not my language, it's the other person's language. We all have to learn how to affirm our love to our loved ones, because effective restitution requires using the love language of your loved ones. This dynamic is the same with God too. When we offend God, we need to use God's love language, not our love language. Today's scripture, when Jesus was passing by a sycamore tree, he looked up and said to Zacchaeus, "Come down, Zacchaeus. I would like to go to your house for dinner." Immediately, Zacchaeus invited Jesus to his house and said to Jesus, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Think about it. Restitution. You know, this is more than the Bible, the law, required to do. Zacchaeus used God's apology languages. God's apology language in Leviticus chapter 6, 5. Leviticus chapter 6, 5 says this: "Or anything else about which you have sworn falsely, you shall repay the principal amount and shall add one-fifth to it. You shall pay it to its owner when you realize your guilt." He is speaking the God's apology language. Some people want to experience new life, but they want to do it on their own terms. So eventually they're not able to make any changes. But we need to make a change. We don't want to follow the pattern of this world. True. Repentance will be accompanied by the action of restitution. Genuine apology and repentance will be followed by the action, actual action of restitution. That's what this Zacchaeus did. Zacchaeus knew of his self-centered lifestyle, yet was willing to change it. He was willing to change it. He immediately worked to fix his offenses to community and to God. When you come to the Lord with a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, which is the language of apology for God. Zacchaeus was willing to make whatever change was necessary in order to experience a new life that he was so craving. That's why he said this, "Look, half of my possession, Lord, half of my possession I will give to the poor." Impressive, isn't it? His greed hurt others, but his repentance and changes and willingness to restitute turned his miserable life to a meaningful life. Let us change our heart and mind and our attitude and action to heal and reconcile to God and to our loved ones. Think about this declaration from Jesus Christ about Zacchaeus. Today, salvation has come to this house. Salvation come to this house because of his repentance and restitution, sincere repentance. I really pray that we all experience this true repentance, true blessing of salvation through repentance and restitution of our lives. Let us pray. Eternal God, we give you thanks and praise for the message that you've given us this morning. And many times, God, it's really hard for us to listen even the message of repentance. But God, as we going through this Lenten journey, help us to find ourselves, our brokenness, our broken relationship, and empower us with your Spirit so that we can reconcile with you and reconcile with our neighbors. The wage of sin is death. The Bible clearly stated, but Jesus, our Lord, paid the price on the cross. Give us courage, O God, to repent. Say, "I am sorry. I was wrong. And what can I do to make it right?" Give us power, O God, to admit our wrongs and to fix the wrong relationship. Thank you, God, for your presence and your empowerment. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Would you please stand for closing hymn?